This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. School year is wrapping up, so we thought we'd get some perspective from Superintendent Jared Corden at Roseburg Public Schools. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
And I see you've got a good tan from graduation Saturday.
That I do. It was a beautiful day on Saturday indeed.
So overall, how do you feel like the school year went?
Well, I'll just start by saying, first of all, congratulations to all of our graduates across the whole county. I think our community should have a lot to celebrate. We've got great kids across the entire county doing great things, and we've had a great school year. It's been a really good school year. It's been lots of learning, lots of success, skinning some knees and getting back up and teaching the importance of resilience and grit. But overall, really good growth with our students, really happy about this school year.
What are some of the biggest highlights for you?
Well, it's interesting. We had graduation Saturday, and it's always a time of introspection where, you know, I continue to ask myself, have we done everything we can to help these kids be successful? As we think about the highlights, for me, it's always going to come down to, have kids been successful? Are kids learning? Are they growing? We had students graduating with plans for their future. We've got kids, moving into the workforce, into the military, into post-secondary options. A lot of great things have happening. We've got some great things happening with our career pathways. We talked about achievement, some good summer learning coming up. So there's a lot of positives. Staff retention is really at an all-time high. So there's a lot of good indicators, but it always gets back to one thing: how are the children doing? And overall, children doing well this year.
So for the district, what were some of the tougher challenges you faced last school year?
Well, I think it's a good question. Our number one focus is making sure our kids are doing well, and our strategic plan talks about care and support for kids, making sure they get the instruction they need so they can have plans for their most successful future. If we talk about challenges, I'd just say, schools are oftentimes a bit of a glimpse into the overall health of a community, and at times into the overall health of a family. And so, I think the challenges come in making sure our kids are well, that they're doing okay. The county, our area sometimes struggles with, some everything from comorbidity factors to pro-social factors. We want to make sure, there are some alarming rates in the county around abuse and alcohol abuse and those kind of things. So some of the challenges are really opportunities, really, to help make sure our kids are doing well, that their overall wellness and our family's wellness and our community wellness is increasing.
Now, I looked at your school calendar today. When you haven't had kids in school for several years, you don't always realize some of the logistics, and you're wrapping up quick this week.
Yeah, this week, well, it's funny because it's a bit of a tale of two cities, because last day for students is on Wednesday, but we move pretty quickly into summer learning, and so it's never really over. Kind of talk about that like an athlete that has a season, but you have to train in the off season. We've got lots of opportunities for kids. So yeah, but officially this school year, the 24-25 year, will conclude on Wednesday with our kids.
Now, does that mean, is high school and middle school also continuing through Wednesday?
Yeah, in fact, we've got high school, we've got finals actually Friday, but today through Wednesday, and all of our schools are marching through to Wednesday, and then staff will wrap up this week, end of the week, and we'll get prepped for our summer learning opportunities.
So talk about summer. That's been kind of varying, or different things going on during the pandemic, and right after that, what is being offered this school year, this summer?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking. It's important for us to have an opportunity for increased learning for kids in the summer. There has been varying streams of revenue to help support increased learning. The pandemic was, we saw a lot more funding coming through that to extend the school year. We're grateful to have been able to get some funding for summer school. So we've got lots going on. Elementary, we've got a focus on literacy in elementary in grades 1 to 5. Our middle school is going to be focused on reading and math. We've got high school, that transition from middle school to high school, and also our primary focus is around credit retrieval at high school and making sure kids are up to level in terms of where they need to be across academic areas. Lots of camps, activities. We have extended school year for students receiving special education services. And then when we think about summer school, we've got to think about how to support our families and kids as well. So we've got food, for example, and kind of prepping all those things, transportation, food service, all the other things that go into there. I often just say you can't just stop learning over the summer. It doesn't need to look the same, but hopefully kids are continuing to grow and learn over the summer.
All right, and when does the food distribution start?
Food distribution starts mid-month. I think it's the 23rd of June, and we'll run that at several locations across the community, including our school campuses. School campuses during the summer are open Monday through Thursday, and so we'll have food there, food for the community as well. And we have several locations strategically across the community at several of our faith-based churches and other spots where we can make sure the community and kids are able to eat this summer as well.
And I know that's been a challenge. Some of the populations, oftentimes teachers will talk about kids being a little nervous when they aren't in school when it comes to food.
Yeah, I think we've definitely seen more food insecurity across our community. I know our parents, it's been a concern for them. It is a concern in our community. It's a concern I have about food insecurity. And so I can remember, you know, when I thought about summer as a student, I was oftentimes excited about that. Our family, I guess, didn't deal with food insecurity that I was aware of as much as a kid. But we do have a number of parents and kids that do get a little nervous about the summer. It's not always a time of excitement. Sometimes it's a time where they're a little nervous about, you know, the structures and what they'll be able to do and having a place to go and having food and all the basic essentials. So we're happy to extend those opportunities. It's important to do that over the summer for our kids and families.
Now, are you seeing some longer-term post-pandemic challenges to education? I mean, are kids re-engaging, or is that still a bumpy road?
You know, I'm not sure how to quantify the impact of the pandemic. You know, we're talking the same kids, a different group of kids. Generally speaking, if it wasn't a pandemic, would kids be as engaged? I mean, mentally, and maybe like just the way I've approached this is the pandemic it's been 5 years ago. I realized there was a pandemic and it was a thing. We were in the middle of that, but we've got the kids and the staff we've got. They're great. And so we don't talk a lot about it. We're just kind of moving forward with our current reality and trying to make sure we're pushing things forward. It definitely had an impact, I think, on all of us in some way. But the impact was pretty varied. It's not much we talk about. I guess I don't think about it too much. It's just you've got work to do and we figure out how to get better every day.
I just wonder if the pandemic combined with all the social media sort of worked together maybe in a way you really probably didn't want it to.
Yeah, I think maybe that would have happened without the pandemic with some of the social media things. I think there's smarter people than myself that could do the data analysis on that. I know it did have an impact on a lot of things. I mean, school totally changed, in-person changed. It was a lot of technology, a lot of concern about the future, what was going to happen. I think our focus is we've got work to do. We've got kids that are here and families that are depending on us and business partners and employers depending on us. And I mean, one of our main jobs is let's make sure we can get kids out of poverty and make sure kids have a successful future. So.
All right, more when we come back. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, Lisa Mensa is the CEO of the Oregon Community Foundation. She's spending about 3 days or parts of 3 days down in the Umpqua Valley this week, and that'll include a visit with us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. We were talking about all the changes in education and getting through a pandemic and everything after that. During the pandemic, online education was a big deal. Is that still going to be a piece of the future?
Well, there's been a, technology's it's always evolving. And I think, you know, what I'm reading about AI is fascinating and a lot of questions about what things could look like in the future. But one overwhelming trend we've seen post-pandemic is a return to in-person instruction. There's been an overwhelming desire to have to be with students and to be with educators in person. We'll still see, and we still do see some people that have a preference around online, but the overwhelming trend has been, categorically speaking, a return to in person. That being said, I think we'll continue to see technology use in education. That's something we have to balance. Because there are a lot of efficiencies with technology, but I think we're in a spot of trying to make sure we're using that in the most appropriate way to speed up learning. But I think the future of online education, I'm not sure. I think what we've seen in our community and beyond is the importance of having school in person.
What about staffing challenges? You kind of mentioned this a bit earlier, but I know there was a trend a few years ago, people getting out of the education field, talking teachers and others. How is that looking?
Well, I can speak locally here. We've been really, really lucky locally. We have had really fantastic staff retention. I continue to tell people, this is such a great, fulfilling profession. I am so fortunate to work in education. Any chance you get to work with this rising generation of kids is really, honestly, it's a blessing. They are such good. It's such a great generation of good young people, and I'm excited. I'm bullish about our future because of them. We don't have a lot of openings. Our staff retention has been really strong. Generally speaking, I do wonder, though, about, you know, will we see people getting into teacher preparation programs? Will we see people who want to, you know, work with children in whatever capacity that might be, and work for school districts, or think about speech and language pathology or school psychology? We do have areas that are harder to fill, for sure, more specialized positions, but for the most part, we've had, you know, our staff retention has been very strong, so we feel really fortunate about that.
What about buildings? What does the district need to tackle?
that's a broad question right there. I think, you know, we have our primary focus has been, you know, we used a large majority of our COVID money on infrastructure because it was needed here. We are applying every cycle for seismic upgrades and seismic grants. Those are things we've been doing. We'll need to have a further community conversations about how we make some, you know, significant improvements to aging facilities. It's something we think about often. We have buildings that are pretty old and probably are getting to the end of their life. We've got a building at Melrose built before World War I. We've got what was referred to as the heritage of the old main of the high school that has caution tape around it. So we need to talk about this as a community and continue to say, you know, we think about our next 100 years in the community and what we want. It's a conversation about how we think about infrastructure and capital improvements.
Yeah, and talk about a little more about the status of that old main building. I noticed that when I was over at graduation for a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a great building, right? It was started, I think, in 1924, completed in 1926. The beautiful old building called the Old Main. It has a ton of history. We haven't had students in that now for a couple of years. It was deemed not a safe place for kids to be in. So we've talked about how we can, you know, keep some of the architectural components, but can we build a building that would have a function for us in the future? Currently, it doesn't have students in it short of our weightlifting right now because our gym's in there for weightlifting. So it's effectively an unused asset on campus. And what's really interesting to me is you would think it would almost age better without students, and it just doesn't, actually. These buildings tend to age better with students in it. I was in it a few weeks ago, and it's you can tell its age is catching up with it right now.
Well, and that's sort of like a house that's not been lived in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our buildings are built for kids and staff, and when you don't have them in there, the smell is different. It's musty. And so we need to make some, I think it's really a community conversation of, you know, it's not always, you know, how you rebuild it or should we rebuild it. I think what we're looking at is what's the function of the building? What's the need in the community? And can we design something with the community that would meet the community's needs?
What now? Last year you had the new softball field go in. There's been some expansion to kind of the north or behind the campus area. Some people don't even know there's a neighborhood back there, but you've slowly been buying properties there. What's the long-term plan?
Right. So, you know, we have a fairly large 6A high school here in town, and it's on about 23 acres, which the average 6A high school across the state is on probably about 40 to 50 acres. So, and we have a little bit of a landlocked situation with I-5 and, you know, Laurelwood and some of the community around us. So long before I got here, actually, there was a desire to start purchasing some of the homes between the high school property and the river. And so that's how we were able to develop that softball field, which has been a great field. It's actually a multi-use field for softball as well. And so we actually purchased every home except for one home behind the high school. And we do have a plan for future expansion that would allow to make some improvements to both field space and parking.
Wow. So going clear back on, I guess you've got two or three different streets there.
Yeah, Birch and Finley and West Selmar. So it's strategically been trying to do that. It's actually been a money generator for the school district in terms of you know, rents, and it's been a good investment for the been good a financial investment for the district to purchase those homes. But the long-term plan, as we think about, you know, future needs, would be to have the opportunity to develop that property at some point.
Now, talk about what began last year, at least the approval of doing it, is having a building on the UCC campus. That's kind of unique.
Oh, it's unique. It's so exciting for the community. We're just thrilled about this new medical college, this medical careers hub up at the college. It's been talked about for a long time, and it's exciting. That's happening. We're really excited to be partnering with UCC. We anticipate we'll have be part of that expansion, and it's going to lead to just a direct. We have a lot of direct pathways with the college right now, from phlebotomy to in nursing and fire science, EMS, and a whole bunch of things, which is a great partnership, and that will continue to help us expand opportunities for kids. And radiology tech and surge tech and really important needs in our community. It's been driven by employers in terms of what they need, and we're excited to partner with the college. They're doing great work. Anything we can do to get our kids more proximate to being here in our community, growing here in our community, raising their family here in our community, having a high wage, high demand job is something we're interested in.
Now, talk about when it comes to funding, is there any concern about all these changes in the federal government impacting some of your funding streams for this district?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unknowns right now with federal dollars, and we do know there's probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood about $12 billion less of federal funds that come in to support communities like ours. It's unclear exactly how that will happen. There have been some things that have been flat funded for next year, the 25-26 year, and questions about what happens with IDEA funding long term, what happens with title funding long term. Some of those are still unknown, but it will undoubtedly have an impact on our ability to help serve some of the kids in our community.
As you look ahead to the fall, which is amazing to even think about, next fall's school year, is there anything new being planned?
You know, we've got kind of a small slate of some capital projects. We're going to do a seismic upgrade on the east side of the VOTEC at RHS, and we'll need to do another seismic on the west side. So we have you know, we've got summer schools on our mind right now and doing some small projects in the community. The real project is always about improvement. And so taking a look at how I improve as a superintendent, what things we can do better to meet the needs of our kids and families.
All right. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.